Democracy in Action, a program on how a state functions, featuring in-depth discussions with experts on governance, politics, and decision-making. Tune in as every week we explore the complexities of governance. What is democracy? What is your role as a citizen? All these and more in Democracy in Action, Thursday at 9 a.m. with a repeat at 9 p.m. the same day. Stay informed and engage with Democracy in Action on Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Yes, good morning. Welcome to Democracy in Action today. And my name is Lucy Kiden. I'll be your host. And today our focus will be on decentralization and local governance. We shall be talking about how to bring decision-making closer to the people. Now, just to get a brief, since gaining independence in 2011, South Sudan has faced the challenge of building strong and inclusive governance structures that respond to the needs of its diverse communities. Decentralization has been a key principle in the country's political framework, envisioned to bring government closer to the people, to promote peace and foster local development. Now, under South Sudan's system of government, power is shared among the national, state, and local levels. The aim is to allow counties, Payams, and Bomas to take greater responsibility for planning and delivering services such as education, healthcare, and infrastructure, and others. And so, in theory, decentralization should enhance participation, accountability, and equitable resource distribution. However, the practical implementation of decentralization has faced major challenges. And many local authorities have struggled to meet community expectations, and citizens often feel disconnected from decision-making processes. And so this morning, during today's discussion, we will explore how decentralization can be strengthened in South Sudan to make governance more inclusive, transparent, and responsive to people's needs. And so as you tune in and listen, you're welcome to comment during the program. There will be an opportunity for you later on. And please note these numbers that you'll be able to call through: 0912-067879. 0912-067929 and 0912-068101. However, during the discussion, you're welcome to send a text message with a question or a comment on 0912-177-141. Okay, so the focus is decentralization and local governance. And I have my guests here with me. Joining me are two gentlemen. We have the Acting Undersecretary, Ministry of Federal Affairs, Honorable Light Wilson Angwa. I hope I got that right. Agangwa. Okay. Yes, thank you very much for coming and making the time to speak to us today. Yes, you're very welcome, Honorable Light Wilson. And then we have Mr. Jirkwe Marekanyon, who is an independent analyst. You're very welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, gentlemen, let's dive into the discussion. First, we're going to understand the meaning of decentralization in the context of South Sudan's governance system. Mr. Jirkwe, you could actually do the definition.
Thank you once again, and thanks to your viewers for listening to us. The essence of decentralization is to transfer control of finance and organizational decision-making to the local government, so that the local people can decide it on their own and can also decide on how to choose each other and how to use the resources that they have. And in the light of South Sudan, we inherited this decentralized government from the NCP during the negotiation in Naivasha. And as we are now, it is a decentralized government in names only, because the decision that should have been left to the local people are being decided by the central government.
Could you elaborate on that? When you say decentralized in own names only, what exactly do you mean?
For example, we said decentralization is the transfer of activities and organization to the local level. For example, the county commissioner is supposed to be nominated or selected by the local people. Now you have a county commissioner being decreed by the president and the central government.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see to what extent does the local people at the local level have a say on who is going to be their commissioner.
So then decentralization remains in theory
it's not practice. Practical, no.
Okay. Let's come to you, Honorable Light Wilson. Why is it important for national unity and development? Why is it important for decentralization to be actualized, not remain, you know, in name and in theory?
You know, I just want to go slightly back on the history of decentralization. Decentralization in the actual sense is exactly 100 years today in South Sudan and Sudan. It's 100 years. It began in 1925 when the colonial government of the then Sudan introduced what is known as the audiences, the chief's audience in 1925. The objective was three. One, to devolve powers, administrative powers to the chiefs. Two, to devolve judicial powers to the chiefs. Three, and to devolve the physical, which is financial powers to the chiefs, to administer the people is actually devolving powers to the indigenous people of the country. I underline indigenous people, which is Sudanese people.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they know the context better and they are close to the people. That is the genesis of decentralization and local government. But controlling power in Khartoum and controlling power in Cairo and controlling power in England, that is basically the purpose of decentralization. And the objective, in fact, which kept on evolving. In 1927, the 1927 audiences devolved more powers. And in 1937, the local government was instituted, the first local government in Sudan was instituted, which we South Sudanese were part of that process. The municipalities, the townships, and the rule, and the underlying rule, because it's the local government. So that it gives powers for the people to decide and to contribute in the planning, implementation of the programs to enhance the lives of the people at different levels, particularly rural areas. In 1951, a real local government was instituted in Sudan, and which South Sudan is part of it, and which was to be the best type of local government in this country, which were part of it. It gave substantial powers to the people. And that's why the term district came in focus. And it gives an autonomous to the local authorities to decide.
Could you expound a little bit more? Which were the districts?
Like Juba,
mm-hmm.
like Mauna-Kwao.
So the counties were districts?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it began to move. Then in 1943, the Property Act was enacted, which then become provinces, which becomes the umbrella for the districts. You see, that is a evolvement.
Which we now know as states.
Exactly, which okay. Now become states. You know, that was the evolvement. And the basis was actually service delivery. The service delivery is you have to have the schools, health services, infrastructures, you have to have sanitation, agriculture for the people. That is the objective of decentralization. But the concept based on the understanding of the British colonial government was to control the power in Khartoum and mm-hmm. control power in Cairo, control power in Britain in London.
Yes.
But those were the objectives. The question now for us in South Sudan, which you asked us to talk from this period, it is to me we have not digested. You know, we just inherited.
So can I just clarify what I'm understanding from what you're saying? What you're saying is we've not actualized the real reason or objective behind decentralizations, because we inherited a bad practice when it was introduced to Sudan and South
we
Sudan.
We inherited a good practice.
A good practice.
A good practice. But the question is, now where are the schools in the rural areas?
So that's where are
the health centers in the rural areas?
So what happened? What changed?
It's not changed, but the implementation.
Implementation is a problem.
What is the problem? Why the schools? Why the health services? Why the infrastructure? Why the agriculture in rural areas? Those who are, what we talk to local government. Why is democracy in rural areas? Local government is about democracy. Local government is about development. Local government is about services delivery.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Yes, you've really answered the question of why it is important to have decentralizations when it comes to the point of national unity and development. Now, let me come to you, Mr. Djurkwe. How effectively are states and local governments currently exercising their powers? Mr. Wilson here already mentioned how we got the involvement of starting with the townships, and then we have the districts that came in, and then eventually the provinces, which we know now are states. How effective are these breakdown of administrative units from the national all through to the BOMA, you know? How effective has it been so far?
Thank you again. I want to start from what you just said. We inherited a good institutions like the, and you know, the effectiveness of any organization or any structure depend on the intent of those who created it. Like you said, the British created the system in Sudan and southern Sudan at that time to achieve their interest, their objective that they wanted to achieve. The current structure that we got, like I said in the beginning, of the 10 states, we inherited from the National Congress Party. The new leadership of southern Sudan government at that time, which was dominantly dominated by the SPLM, never sat down and said, okay, now we liberated a territorial area called southern Sudan. What do we need now? Can we sit down, look at our structure, how diverse we are, and then form a system of governance that meet our diversity? They never sat down to do that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they don't even know the importance of the 10 state, because the 10 state was not their creation. Had they sat down immediately after the independence, which we discussed in 2010, all the political parties conference, we said the new country called South Sudan in 2011 does not have anything on it. It is just a territorial area. Let's come together as political parties, political leaders, sit down, we look at ourselves, our composition, then come out with a system that will serve us. Had we done that, we would have actually known how to implement that. So the fact that the current administrative unit are not effective is good. They were not born out of our conversation. They are not our product.
Let me just ask you something. When you say they did not sit down, there's the question of the 28 and eventually 32 states that then came back to 10 states. Wasn't that a sit-down, or what would you call it?
It was reactionary. Let me say this. I think you will, if your memory will remind you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
After the independence, there was no SPLM government. There was nobody government. There was a country for southern Sudanese people. But the SPLM decided to carry their mandate from an autonomous government of southern Sudan in 2010 election into the new country. So our question, as the other political parties, was, let's sit down, discuss together the new country. We agreed that, yes, the current president will stay for the next 5 years as a transitional government, but the executive should be composed of all the political parties, so that the views reflected in the discussion of the constitution should be inclusive. Mm-hmm. But after the independence, then they refused to implement the resolution of all the Southern Sudan political parties conference. And as a result, they are unable now to achieve whatever they've been achieving. You've been seeing back and forth. I mean, they start fighting among themselves.
So your ruling is that it's ineffective?
It's completely ineffective because it is not born from us.
Okay.
And if we don't come back to the table as Southern Sudanese people, as South Sudanese people, and have a discussion, roundtable political discussion, we'll never go anywhere.
If you don't mind me asking, we are talking about exercising of powers and responsibilities. So if it's ineffective, what are those powers and responsibilities that are currently being misused or dormant with this kind of ineffective governance system?
For example, like I put it earlier, the local government now has no money. The central government itself has centralized all the resources in only one ministry. They're supposed to go into the line ministry. You invite some of the governors here, ask them, when was the last time the money that was budgeted to you as a state was transferred exactly the way it is? Invite one of the commissioners, ask them how do they work with the governors. Because the central government control how the state work. The state governor also behave like a president at the state level and start dictating on the commissioners. All of them. Simple example is, the undersecretary ministry, in any ministry, is supposed to be appointed by a civil service commission, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the law say. Now it's appointed by decree. Tomorrow you can be appointed from here, from RIFMA directly as maybe undersecretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs without even having a knowledge about it.
The tongue usually has powers, so please don't say that.
Okay. Can I come in?
All right. Thank you very much.
Decentralization is transfers of powers, responsibilities and resources. That is decentralization in technical terms and operational terms. And why decentralization? Decentralization is, one, to empower communities to plan and manage their development priorities. Two, promote transparency and accountability by reducing the distance between citizens and decision makers. Three, improve equity in resource distribution and service delivery. Four, strengthen national unity, national unity through inclusion and representation. Three, reduce pressure on central institutions and improve local responsiveness. Now, what is this situation in Sudan, in South Sudan now? The situation in South Sudan is practical. One, we have one major problem is the fiscal transfers, which my friend has just talked about. The observation is, irregular, inadequate transfers from national to states and counties. That is actually the situation. Two, local planning. We have a problem with local planning. Local planning is either outdated or absent in county development plans. That's the problem. Three, we have human resources. Shortages of qualified, for instance, accountants, planners, and auditors. Revenue collection, narrow base, and sometimes weak. Especially if you look at the local level, what are the revenue bases in the local areas, and are autonomous in collecting those revenues, and where do these revenues go? And we have citizen participation, because of these issues, there is limited participation of citizens due to absence of local elections. Now, Lucy, if you agree with me, if you go to local areas, if you go to the Bomas, to the counties, you will never get councils elected. And this is the backbone of the local government, and this erodes local democracy and ownership. What the democracy is in elected councillors who are the engines of the local government. And this is a historical fact. And is everywhere in the local councils. Erodes local democracy and ownership of the county. Mm-hmm. And finally, gender inclusion. Women underrepresented in councils, if they're there, underrepresented in councils in the leadership, which means missing the potential in peace building and economic participation. These are some of the issues that I can present here for you and audience to understand.
Okay.
These are the realities.
All right. Shortly, we'll be looking at some of the solutions. And if you've just tuned in, we are talking about decentralization and local governance in South Sudan. We're looking at our context here and how so far decentralization has been, whether it's effective or ineffective, how much more should be done to bring decision-making closer to the people. And just now, one of the guests, Mr. Jirkwe Marek, is talking about some of the challenges that are being faced. And before we look at the solutions, I just wanted to ask Honorable Light was talking about the challenges. Do you have any more challenges to add, Mr. Jirkwe?
The challenge is the bigger challenge in regard to how decentralization is not being effective is the lack of political will from our political leadership. I don't see anything difficult in making sure that the decentralization works, because we've been there before, like the Honorable Elite put it before. During the 70s and 80s, we had an administrative structure that was informed historically by the colonialists and also accepted by our leaders at that time. So the bigger challenge now is the lack of political will, number one. Number two, lack of resources. As we're seeing now, the country is in economic decline. So the political will, for me, is underlying everything. There's nothing difficult than people saying, yes, let's do this. Starting from the central government, said this is what we want to do. So I don't see any other bigger major thing than lack of political will to make sure that the decentralized government work properly.
All right.
I have additional challenges.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, the challenge that we have is we have weak service delivery. You know, weak service delivery. Frankly speaking, this is the major problem South Sudanese people are suffering from. Weak service delivery. And perhaps also weak compliance and accountability, mm-hmm. You know, and we in local government, we are dependent on central grants, you know. Why not first to create or strengthen local based revenue sources, you know.
Let me just
and finally, we have limited physical autonomy. You know, physical autonomy, the powers to generate local resource base that we have. We have available resources. You know, why don't we transform those resources for the benefit of the local people in local areas?
All right. Finally,
absence of elected councillors, and this is very crucial in local government. Absence of elected councillors, very, very crucial in local government. You know, these are very serious issues and additional challenges to political interference, which I quite agree with it, but I have to add this to cement the challenge of local government.
All right. Mr. Merrick, as you come we'll also delve into the solutions.
Yeah. Let me just say a simple example. You know why I focus so much on political will? I come from Lagos State, mm-hmm. and Lagos State some few years back has been considered as the most insecure place. And so many governors go in, they come out. The local people could not run anywhere. But when Governor General Rintrin came in with his administration and a will to make sure that the security prevailed, he achieved it. Hmm? And the people enjoyed. So service delivery, it is a political will of the leaders of the day. If they say this is what we want to achieve, it must be achieved. But if they don't want it, they can sabotage it. Hmm? Okay. That's why I want it to be. So the biggest solution lies actually in terms of us defining our political direction. Like Kwame Nkrumah said, get the politics right, the rest will follow. So if you don't get the politics right at the central level and say, this is what we wanted, we'll never get it right down there. You will do what? Because you don't have political will to devolve power, you will try to appoint people that will go and limit the participation of the local people every time you put them there. But if you're serious and you say, Jirikwe, I want you to be a governor of Lagos State, for example, and I want you in 1 year, this is what I want to see. If I don't see this, you're gone. Mm-hmm. Then from you in central here, if I don't do that, I'll be gone. So if I'm interested in being a governor of Lagos, then I'm the chief. What you have instructed me to do?
Thank you. Thank you for sorting that. And almost, that is pretty much the solution. And it's something that cannot be changed because it is a personal decision to have the will to do something. But let's assume there are some people in these government positions, local government positions, that have the will to do it, but they are being faced with these challenges that have been listed, say, for example, the limited physical autonomy, say, for example, the lack of resources or their failure to deliver a service because of maybe a lack of infrastructure. How can these be addressed? You have people who want to work, but their hands are tied.
You know, we are the beneficiaries of international goodwill. I happened to be a teenager during the 90s. When the SPLA was mostly fighting for the liberation of this country with no money. And because with all the limitations that we were having at that time, our intention to do good made other people to come and help us. So sometimes, yes, you may not have all these things, but if you have a good intention and you reach out to others, they can be able to help you. For example, when Radu Murai is here, despite the restriction in the media space here, you are able to serve the South Sudanese citizen with information like what we are discussing now. So I'm not discouraging people not to attempt, despite all the challenges. You look for other avenues. If you are, for example, a local a commissioner or a, come up with new ideas and tell others. Maybe you never know. Somebody will come in and help you. But if you don't say it or you don't attempt it, you said, okay, because of the constraints I have, I will not start again. No, you'll be missing out. So I agree with you. Despite the constraint, you can still do good. Reach out to other people. International goodwill is there to help you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Coming now to you, Honorable Light Wilson. You mentioned some key challenges like the outdated or absent local planning, lack of limited physical autonomy, and then you also mentioned the tendency for dependence. Who is responsible to ensure that these don't happen from the local level?
It's we. We, the government, we, the people.
Which government? Which level?
Okay, now, first, we need to clarify functional assignments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does it mean? And if you well know, what is this decentralization? Transfer of powers from the center, the state, and the local level. And this now you brought me to talk about intergovernmental relationship. You know?
Yes.
Intergovernmental relationship. How do these levels of government interact to address issues at different levels? Which means the three levels are responsible for this. The three levels of government are responsible for this issue. Number two, we have to clarify functions and assignments. You know, develop a national functional assignment framework. Clearly divide the national, state, and local functions. Very clearly. You know, we need to know what is the role of the national government? What is the role of the state government? What is the role of local government? And you can see, you can agree with me, Lucy, everywhere in the world. Local government is where the development takes place. The national government is policy and clear functions, defense, currency, foreign affairs, and other things. And the state government is to translate those policies into functional actions to be implemented by the local government. This is very clear. There is no way out that you can escape this fact. So now, to me is clarify functional assignments. One, two, enhance physical autonomy. The physical autonomy really must be discussed. You know, institutionalize a transparent, formula-based transfer system through an institution responsible for this. For instance, for our cases, South Sudan physical financial allocation monetary commission. This is established as an institution for this fact.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we address is the fiscal transfers. Now, why don't we enhance that institution? Number three, build capacities of the people. You know, build capacity of people to manage the functions that you have assigned them.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right. Just before you end, you spoke about something very key, intergovernmental relationship.
Yes.
And clear functions. And I just remembered there was a time when the State Revenue Authority and the National Revenue Authority were clashing over which collections go to where, you know, and that just reminded me of that. Well, right now, shortly after the break, we'll be able to take in your calls or comments as we speak to our guests in the studio. We're talking about decentralization and local governance and how decision making can be brought closer to the people, because that is actually the main intent for decentralization. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Radio Mirai, your number one source of engaging dialogue, news, and entertainment.
أنتم تستمعون إلى راديو ميرايا.
صوت السلام.
Welcome back. This is Democracy in Action. My name is Lucy Kiden, and with me, I have Honorable Light Wilson Angwa, who is the Acting Secretary, Ministry of Federal Affairs. And then we have Mr. Jirkwe Marekanyon, who is an independent analyst. We're talking about decentralization and why it's important for the context of South Sudan, why it's important for national unity and development. We're looking at whether it has been effective so far. We've looked at the history as well. We have been in that kind of government for 100 years, according to Honorable Light. And then, yes, it's decentralization that led to the kind of the way South Sudan looks right now, the different regions coming from the states to the Bomas, to the counties. And so, yes, you're welcome to call in. The numbers are 0912-067879, 0912-067929, and 0912-068101. Go ahead and call in, and you can ask your question right now. Wait. So as we look forward to your calls, we have another question here that I'm going to throw to Mr. Jirkwe Marek. Following the challenges that are taking place, the most affected are the citizens. In the case that, you know, we put aside the leaders who are not doing either their function or they're limited by the resources, the citizens are affected. So how can citizens and the traditional leaders, the chiefs, the women leaders, the youth leaders, play a stronger role in promoting accountability so that our leaders are able to perform their duties, but also participation in local governance so the communities are actually involved in these decision-making processes?
Some of the ways in which the local population, the local community leaders and the citizen can actually try to promote and participate in the local decision-making is public awareness. For example, civil societies and women group, for example, like women group, I've seen a lot of women group are very effective in at the state level. They can start doing awareness with the media houses like Mraya FM to let the people know what are their rights. The people who know their right can easily demand them from the commissioner, they can demand them from the government. And I can simply tell you, in Lagos State now, simple example is, the local people now are the one actually taking security to their own hand. For example, because they have known the importance of peace. Now, if there is maybe the local group wanted to fight, they will start gathering among themselves. They start convening their own son, don't do this, don't do this. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of ways. The civil society, there's a reason why it is called the fourth arm of the government.
Yeah.
Because it's not controlled by the government. Mm-hmm. So the civil society group, like the youth group, like the women's group, can do a lot by creating awareness about the right of the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about you, Honorable Light? What do you think?
One of the ways is to empower the citizens, and as stated by my colleague, you know, the chiefs are indispensable because they're the custodians of local justice and land management and social mediation. So the role is really very crucial in governance. Yes, I agree with the civil societies, youth, women. They're crucially important. They are to be given awareness, empowered, so that they demand accountability. And the role of youth are crucial, and is very, very, very much important, because they are for today and they are for tomorrow, and then they need to play a great role in accountability, checking, and the citizens are represented by councillors. I repeat, this is really very crucial. We need to have elected councillors in the counties. This is very crucial.
Thank you very much. Let's hear from our first caller, Radio Mirai. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Akok Nelson.
Yes, Akok, you're welcome. Where are you calling from?
From Moniki, yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate and I welcome the guest in the studio.
Yes.
My question, I must comment it on what the Honorable said, like it's an example based on Lagos State government. And I want to ask them exactly, why always government of South Sudan is taking one side or one activities Like, the reason why I'm saying this is only currently right now, the governor of Lagos State went and focused on peace building, and let's say this is also right. And so currently right now, we never heard anything from Lagos State concerning, like, the development. Aside from the cases that are really, aside from the what, from the peace that the governor is building, should the governor of South Sudan should only afraid on best duty or only concentrate on the one road? And thank you so much.
Thank you, Akok. Yes, we have room for at least two more calls before we close the lines due to time. So now is the time to call. If you're not able to call in, you can send a text message on 0912-177-141. Yes, Mr. Jirkwe, you can go ahead and answer that question.
Thank you, Cook Nelson. I agree with you. That's one of the questions a lot of people have been asking about the governor of Lagos State. They said, why is the governor of Lagos State focusing more on security and peace building and not development? Considering our economic, like the Honorable said it before, yeah, decentralization include taking the decision making to the state to the local level and also fiscal transfer. I think I cannot remember in the budget of the government of Southern Sudan where there is an allocated amount of money for development in the state and effectively transferred to the state and then disappear in the hand of the governors. I haven't seen that. So there might be no development in Lagos State, not because the government doesn't want to, but there's no fiscal availability of money to carry out the development program that you need in Lagos State. So I think as a result of economic problem, we can cut peace of mind to our governor in Lagos State. Not to blame him too much why he's not carrying out development. There's
so
no money.
So it goes down to resources.
To resources, correct.
All right. A real huge challenge indeed. And I think one of the solutions mentioned earlier is the physical autonomy so that you're able to have state-owned ways to gain resources, maybe taxing, and that Mr. Light spoke on that earlier. Okay, now, as we continue, earlier we were talking about citizens, traditional leaders playing a stronger role in promoting accountability, and you were talking about councillors just before I asked you a question, which I would like you to elaborate on. Yes, what are the right channels and acceptable ways to hold those leaders accountable? You spoke about councillors, but are they there?
No.
And if they're not there, how should the citizens still hold their leaders accountable? We are asking them to do it. How can they do it?
You know, these things are clearly spelled in the Local Government Act in 2009. And, we need to operationalize the Local Government Act as it is. And it is the responsibility of the Honorable Commissioner, the Executive Director in the county, and the state government. It's the responsibility.
So, in the case that they're not doing it.
Exactly. Where is the parliament of the state government? Where is the parliament of the state? You know, the checks and balance. What is the role? What are they doing? They should make sure the counties are functional. Because the counties the state is responsible for counties. You know, as the state government, you're responsible for counties. And do you check that the counties are functional? Are the institutions of local government in place? Do you check them as governor, as commissioner? Do you know that they are functional? They are existing? Do you check the local government? How many, if you look at Local Government Act, how many objectives of local government are there? Are they operational? Do you check county self-assessment performance? Do you check it as a commissioner? As executive director, do you check that? As a governor, do you check it? If you look at the Local Government Act, it's just self-explanatory, frankly speaking.
Okay, so you mentioned parliament, and that means the layperson, the farmer, the one who goes to the market, should go to their member of parliament
to complain. And not only to complain, you have to go to the people that elected you, to tell them, I'm here. Do you have any questions, any clarifications?
But in this case, we are looking at down up.
Okay, and then it's the same. You people have to talk to the member of parliament. What are you doing there? You know, they are giving money and the money to take it to your constituency to talk to the people. And if they have not gone, come to them, ask them, lead a delegation. Not only to lead delegation to see a governor, to see the president, but organize the delegation to see your representative in the county. Check the parliamentary sessions. Do your member in the parliament talk?
What is he talking? What is he talking?
All right. Yes, Jirkwe.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject what he said. For example, like when you said in the first beginning, you said, what can the local people do from the bottom up without the government, the central government? For simple example is, have you seen the Boer community organization? How they're not government, they're not MPs, they're not anything, like the youth group. And they have decided to organize themselves. They carry out major elections. They go back to the country and to their counties and their payams and talk about the intercommunal problem. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when the governor of the administrative governor of Pibor took all the youth leaders of Boer, of Jongole, they went to Pibor, they had sit together. So the most important thing is that are people aware of their right? If you know what you want as a local people, you can be able to go and ask who to give it to you.
Okay.
Like what you just said, the councillors. Some commissioners don't even know that a county commissioner has councillors. The only county in Juba that I can mean, in South Sudan that I can remember, that has a council, that's it, is Yei County. We had a commissioner, one of the, I will not say his name, from Rumbek, is, I don't even think whether he has ever seen the Local Government Act. So they don't know. So,
all right. Well, due to time, we are going to now bring this to a close. Thank you very much. This has been a very fruitful and enlightening discussion. And as we close, really, what advice can you give to the public, but also mostly to the local leaders out there? Yes, some of them are facing challenges, and yet others are just lacking political will. So what can you tell them right now? Let's start with Honorable Light.
Unfortunately, we are not, our people are not friends to books, unfortunately. And our people are not even friends to radios. This is an unfortunate thing. Mm-hmm. But these are things that they need to do, you know. Now, in summary, decentralization is a good institution. Decentralization, effective decentralization is the foundation of democracy and self-delivery, development. It transforms governance from centralized promise to a localized reality. That is actually what is meant by decentralization. By empowering counties and communities, integrating traditional authorities, ensuring gender inclusion, and adapting cooperative federalism, South Sudan can build a resilient and inclusive governance model.
Okay.
Finally, decentralization is not just about the structure. I'm not lying. It's not all about the structure. It is about trust. It is about participation. And it is a shared nationhood.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And coming to you, Jirkwe, you just have about 30 seconds to conclude.
Okay. In the absence of political will, we have underlined at the major problem that is making us not achieve the decentralized government. I would encourage the citizens of South Sudan to, first of all, be demanding effective local government leaders. For example, if you are a member of a certain county and you really care about what needs to be done in your county, talk to your government, let them give you a commissioner that understands what needs to be done,
okay.
Commissioner that can read book.
Okay.
So otherwise, you participate in civil society organization and look for your MPs. Where are your MPs? Have they ever visited your constituent? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, gentlemen. And this brings us to the end of Democracy in Action today. Have a good day. Bye-bye.